100, please. Psalm 100. The message this morning is be thankful. Psalm 100, we're going to read the whole psalm, all five verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth all generations. You know, we as God's people, of all people on the earth, ought to be the most thankful people. Amen. So much we can be thankful for. Redeemed from an eternity in hell. And if that was all that we got, that would be more than enough for our eternal thanks to God. But that's not all. We've been adopted into the family of God. Our Heavenly Father, the Creator, has given us exceeding great and precious promises, the Bible says. Think about that. Not just promises, but exceeding great and precious promises. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He promised to always be attentive to our prayer. What an amazing thing. The Creator of the universe is always willing to give an audience to us at any moment, amen, under any circumstance, no matter what. I can go to God and know that he's listening. Amen. That's an exceeding great and precious promise. He provides our needs. Always looking out for us. He promised that all he allows into our lives is for our ultimate good. Everything. That may not seem good at the moment, but ultimately all things are working for our good. And finally, one day, as we just sang, he's coming again. He's going to take us to be in heaven, to the place that he is preparing for us right now. And as the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So much we have to be thankful for. And he has every right to expect our thanks. He says in this psalm, make a joyful noise, all you lands. Serve him with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Look over at Psalm chapter 30. David is described as a man after God's own heart. David wasn't perfect. In fact, he sinned very grievously against the Lord. But God still labels him in that manner. And I think part of it is because God knew David's heart. And look what he says here in verse 12 of Psalm chapter 30. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Ceaseless praise and thanks to God for who he is. But have you ever considered this, that thanksgiving's not natural? You ever forgot to thank somebody for something? It's not natural. I mean, from the time that our children begin to speak, we start telling them, say, thank you. Here's a piece of candy. Tell them thank you. And from there until here, we usually keep reminding them, say thank you. And sometimes we need to be reminded too. It's not natural. Thankfulness is not part of the old nature. In fact, what we're seeing going on now is evidence of that. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Now, this is talking about those who have turned away from God. They've rejected him. It says, verse 21, because when they knew God, so they know him. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Now, there's some atheists in the world, probably true atheists. But a lot of them know him, just refuse to acknowledge him as God. They glorify and failed to glorify him as God. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. I mean, there isn't a thing that we have that we don't owe God for. There a breath that we take, the life that we have. God's given it all. The ability to grow the food that we eat. Everything is God's. And he's provided it to us. He's the source of it. And they're not thankful. They refuse to acknowledge him for what he's given us and glorify him for it. But let's read on. Because that but became vain in their imaginations. Oh boy, isn't that the truth? Oh, it all started from a big bang. Yeah? But where'd that come from? There had to be something for there to be a big bang. Vain imaginations. Oh, it was just spontaneous generation. That's foolishness. It's not science. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So this unthankfulness is a characteristic of the ungodly. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. I believe that puts us where we are today on the calendar, on God's calendar of things. It's hard to imagine that there can not be much time left that we have on this earth before the Lord calls us home. So that's the days that we're in right now, he's speaking about. Perilous times. And he says this, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I mean, that's what it's all about today. A love of myself. You deserve it. You've got rights. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. There it is again. A characteristic of our day today of the ungodly, unholy. He goes on, without natural affection, abortion, truth breakers. Court systems are backed up with that. False accusers. Well, we don't even need to get started on that. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Unthankfulness is a characteristic of the ungodly. When you're unthankful, you're following the flesh, not the spirit. That's part of the old nature. It reveals a self-centered attitude. And that's where we're at today. People are focused on themselves only. Me, 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 me. What am I going to get? What's the government going to give me? And on it goes. Believing we're entitled to so many things. And as we approach the end, it's going to get worse. The thanksgiving for the believer ought to be more than just the fourth Thursday in November. Amen. We ought not to have this characteristic of the ungodly. We ought to be different than that, separate from that. And it should be the theme of our lives. Look at Colossians chapter 3. In fact, I want to look at several verses now, passages right now, all stressing this importance of thanksgiving in our lives. And it's interesting, and some of the Sunday school lessons is probably going to overlap what we're going to be looking at this morning. But you go through and time and time and time and time again, Paul tells us to be thankful. You see, because we need to be reminded, because it's not natural. Look at Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 15. And let the peace of God, notice you have to let it, you have to allow the peace of God to rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So he said, thankful, and then the idea that they're singing accompanying that. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So just in those three verses there, he repeats thanks twice. Be thankful. Look at chapter 1 of Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And that's my salvation. I'm an heir with Jesus Christ, adopted into the family of God, one who was on my way to hell, deserving of nothing better than an eternity in hell. But God not only has forgiven my sins, but he's made me his child and given me an inheritance. Man, God's given us so much, folks. He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul says that's what you need to be thankful for. If you got nothing else, you got that. But we got so much more than that. Look at chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 6. As ye therefore received Jesus, Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and builded up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So it's not just that we are to be thankful, we're to abound in thanksgiving. As a child of God, that's our duty. Our God is deserving of that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Now let's back up a verse, two verses, starting at verse 18. He says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice the contrast again. There's the wine that's got excess in it. He says, don't be drunk with that. That's the flesh that desires that and runs after that. He says, but be filled with the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to have control of our lives. And now, how does he define that, describe that? Speaking as to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything that's good for you. Amen. No, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. We're to give God thanks to God for everything. I went to Tennessee Temple for 2 years down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, Bible school down there. And there was a fellow student by the name of George Whitaker. And I mean, this guy was singing and praising God all the time. And he was blind. But man, what a joyful attitude he had. I mean, he'd go down the sidewalk and just, I mean, that old cane is just bouncing off the sidewalk. He's singing and praising God. And so much so that instead of, you know, the kind of a careful checking the way, he's bouncing so much right into a pole. I've seen him do that. And praise the Lord! And just, I mean, it didn't faze him. That's the way we ought to be, folks. Giving thanks always in all things. Even when you smash into a pole, that's rough. I'm not blind and I have trouble with that. That's the way we ought to be. Giving thanks in all things. It's natural for us to grumble and complain about them things. You know, that's our default setting. When something doesn't happen the way we want it to, and when things don't go our way, the first thing to do is grumble and complain. I forget when it was this past week. There was one day I'd been through a very frustrating situation, and I'd just gotten home, and as I got home, Sarah, our daughter, called, and it wasn't long in the conversation, I just began to unload my frustrations on her. And going on for a while, and then I realized, what am I doing? And Sarah, I'm sorry. You caught me when I was still raw, and I shouldn't have unloaded you on like that, and I apologize for that. That's our natural default, see? When things don't go the way we want, when some frustration, some difficult situation comes our way, the grumbling and complaining begins. We ought not to do that. We ought not to be like that. And Sarah, I was walking after the flesh, and Sarah was after the Spirit. Amen. She just listened. And when I apologized, I said, that's all right, Dad. I understand. Giving thanks. Always, in all things. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. The verse that we looked at in Sunday school this morning. And this theme is repeated along with thankfulness a lot. He says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. But how oftentimes do we do things with murmurings and disputings? Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You see, again, that's the work of the flesh, the murmurings, the grumblings, the complainings, and so forth. That's my old nature when it's in control. When I'm always focused upon the negative, that's the old nature. When I'm always talking about the difficult things in my life, that's the old nature. What's God say I'm supposed to do? The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering. Sarah was long-suffering in my fleshly act. That's the fruit of the Spirit, folks. And that's where that thankfulness comes from, is allowing the Spirit of God to have control of our lives, to produce that fruit in us. As it said in Ephesians, we're to walk after the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Letting the Spirit of God have control of our lives. You know, nothing can be more discouraging to listen to somebody just go on and on and on about what's going on in their lives. But sometimes you got to do that. And we're to be long-suffering, bearing all things, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Two opposite things. And how many times does that describe us? The same mouth. I'm blessing and praising God on one hand, and I turn right around and begin to curse and complain and grumble and gripe about something that doesn't suit me. Something that I should be bearing with long suffering. Out of the same mouth. He says, that ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Our words are important. How we respond, what we say about situations, the right attitude. And that's what, it's about my heart, folks. It's one thing to praise God when you run into a pole, but it's another thing to do it from the heart. And I, you know, what a conviction George Whitaker was to me. He used to do what he called take you on a tour. He'd come to somebody and say, hey, come on with me. And the idea was you were to close your eyes and take his arm and let him lead you across the campus. Across, now Tennessee Temple was located in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And there were public streets that you crossed. I cheated. But what a testimony that guy was. Just that joy and rejoicing all the time. Thankful. Thanking and praising God. Regardless of what happened in his life. And that's the way we ought to be, folks. Be thankful. Look over at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. Verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart, that's good for you. Even though you don't like what's going on, you can't focus on the negative, because that's going to be that broken spirit that dries the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Go back to chapter 15. Proverbs 15. Look at verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. It reflects on our countenance, our face, if we've got the merry heart. But in both of these passages, there's a brokenness when you don't have that. Verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. I read the wrong verse, didn't I? Yep. Back up to verse 14, I'm sorry. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. There's no want. And that's what God wants for us, to be thankful. Look over at Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Do you know where Paul was when he wrote that to the people at Philippi? He was in prison. He was awaiting execution. And what's his admonition to other believers? Rejoice in the Lord. Paul was rejoicing because he knew where he was going real soon. Amen. He says, that needs to be our attitude. That needs to be how we live our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Just a small verse, verse 18, but look what it says. Rejoice, verse 16, rejoice evermore. God wants us to be thankful. Because not only is he worthy of it and deserving of it, but it's to my benefit. If I'm sorrow about and griping about stuff all the time, it's only going to dry me up inside. It's a detriment to me. But he says, rejoice. Verse 17, that's good. Pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, in everything, give thanks. Everything, no exceptions. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever it is, it's been filtered to the loving hands of your Father. The flat tire you have, God allowed that for a purpose. The difficult person that you experience, God allows that for a purpose. Sometimes to teach us to be more patient and long-suffering and to be able to bear all things. Whatever it is, it's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So he says, in everything, give thanks. Because when I begin to grouse and grinch about something, I'm grousing and grinching against the will of God in my life. Think about that. Now look, this is as hard for me to live as it is for you, okay? I don't have a handle on this by any means. But I know this is what God expects. This is what God desires of us. And ultimately for our benefit. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6. You remember Peter? Impetuous Peter? Quick to insert his foot into his mouth at every instant. But Peter's matured when he writes this. And he says in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, ye're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Well, that's a mouthful. Number one, it's temporary. It's for a season. A lot of times when some difficulty, some trial comes upon us, it's right in front of us, so it blocks out everything else. But we need to keep perspective. This is a season. This is going to pass. One way or another, I'm going to be done with this at some point. The second thing is, if need be. I've already said it. If it comes into your life, it came through God's hands, he said, you need this. He says, if need be, you're in heaviness. That doesn't sound like a pleasant thing, does it? Through manifold temptations, not just one. You've had those, we've all had those days when it just seems like the bottom falls out. The world crashed in on you. That's what Paul's talking about. Manifold. That's when our mettle is tested. Am I still going to be able to rejoice and praise God through that? Or am I going to resort to following my flesh? Why did this happen to me? Oh, this is so terrible. If need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peter may not have endured the things that Paul did, or to the degree that Paul did, but he faced some things, and he came through them, and he wrote these words, the one we haven't seen, but we love him, and we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let's go back again to our text, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. The book of Psalms has a lot of rejoicing like this in it. In fact, you get to the end of the book, the last five chapters, 145 through 150, are all about praising and rejoicing in God. But he says here again, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye. You remember where we started in Romans 1. They knew God, but they glorified him not as God. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God made you. God owns you. And he's deserving of something from you. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I think when you get down on your knees to pray, that's the first thing you ought to do, is give thanks and praise to God. And I don't do this near enough, but I've tried to do just to get down and pray, not to ask for a thing, but just to thank and to praise my God for who he is. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Folks, pretty simple. We've looked at a number of verses that pretty clearly tell us what we ought to do. Now we need to put it into practice. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us to be a thankful people. Yes, the world's going to laugh and mock us, but you don't. You delight in our praise, God. And you are worthy of it. Lord, help us as we approach this day set aside as a day of thanksgiving, to not let it just be one day a year, but God, make it the practice of our lives to give thanks and praise to your precious and your holy name. God, we get so distracted by the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. And we easily lose sight of you. Bring us back, God. Stir us, we pray. In Jesus' name.